quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. It's kind of where we left off last week. We didn't get through much beyond there. We're still not mentally yet. I didn't get to everything I wanted to get to in that. But started looking at the necessity of praying, obviously, for all those, but especially here specifically for all those that are in authority over us. We looked at last week a little bit concerning that, and that one of the reasons why, before I get too far into this, one of the reasons why he gives us for praying for that. Now, we looked at four aspects of prayer. You know, we looked at, you know, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and ultimately thanksgiving for all that God does to us on a daily basis and so forth. But verse 2 tells us that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And he gives us a reason why, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And we looked at last week a couple of verses concerning, you know, even in the Old Testament, where we looked at Esther, we looked at there in the book of Acts and other places where, you know, when we pray for those that are over us in the Lord, that we pray that God will intervene. And since God, as Brother Travis was saying, that he is the creator of all things. In fact, we need to look at verse where God established governments. All powers that be are there because he put them there. That means that God can control also what goes on within those governments. Mm-hmm. We also looked at a verse last week where in Proverbs 29:2, where it says, let's just turn it real quick, and after we read this, we'll have a word of prayer. Proverbs 29:2, just a quick review of that verse. We looked at this verse, spend a little time in there. 29 and verse 2. Which states simply, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Okay. We haven't always had, but that isn't always the case as far as having righteous leaders before. If they are righteous leaders, then that's what's going to be resulted, that the people will rejoice. That isn't always been the case. We look at those examples in them, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's why it's so important that we pray for our leaders, even those that aren't leading us in godly ways or making godly decisions, starting in our own local governments, but then to our, you know, state governments, all the way to our national governments. Important we pray for our leaders because the decisions they make really affect how we're able to live our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important we not leave off that aspect of it, because in a lot of respects, you know, they are making the decisions, they are making the laws by which we live by. Let's talk about a prayer before we go any further, because I want to get into this a little bit further. I dear gracious and heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks again, Lord, for this opportunity. We ask and pray, Father, your blessing upon the word as it goes forth here this morning, Lord. Pray, Father, help us all to have a greater appreciation, greater understanding, Father, for your authority and your power and the things that you've established, Lord. Help us, Father, to realize that even the governments that we have, Father, are established by you. And I just pray, Father, that you'd help us to be good citizens, not only of the governments we live in, but more importantly, good citizens of your heavenly kingdom, Lord, as ambassadors here in a foreign land. We just thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Okay.
Proverbs 29:1.
Proverbs 29:2. And Proverbs 15:3 was one other verse we looked at, and I'll just look at that real fast too. And then it just states there that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And that includes everything, including governments, whether they're good or whether they're bad. God is over all that and is totally aware of all that. One of the things I wanted to hit you this morning, that's why it's so important, as it states there in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Praying for our leaders and all those that are very over us are important to our calling because it affects our mission. What is our mission in this world?
To spread the gospel.
Okay. And of course, he leads us into that in verse 3 and 4. This directly results in our ability to perform verse 3 and 4, okay? And that's why it's so important that we pray for our leaders, because it helps in our mission in this world. It can also hinder our mission in this world. That's why it's so important. If our leaders aren't, as I mentioned earlier, aren't governing righteously God through the prayer of his people, through his people who are faithful to him, God can intervene in what governments do. For the benefit of his people and for the benefit of his ultimate purpose in this world is to have the gospel spread and share. We looked at, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Now, concerning governments, Jesus, because he was asked, you know, the other individuals trying to entrap him, and the Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians tried to do on a regular basis, trying to entrap him in his own words or to get him to ultimately speak against the laws of God in the Old Testament, but also to try to get him to speak against the government of the day, which in this case was the Roman government. So they always tried to trip Jesus up concerning governments and so forth and authority. But here in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, I'm going to have Sister Shelley, would you start there and read those verses for us, please?
22, 15.
Starting in chapter 22, verses 15 through 22.
Then with the Pharisees and took counsel of how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou withdrawest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these things, his words, they marveled, and left him and went their way.
So, Jesus being challenged concerning governments, isn't he? And authority. We all know and agree that God is over all. He is the ultimate authority. But God is also, because He is, He also established the governments that be. Okay, and we'll look at another verse here, just look at Romans 13. We'll get ready to turn there. That's why I use this as an interview. Jesus was approached about this, and He told people, hey, bring your pain, use it, Lord, and render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God. Rendering to the authorities that God has established doesn't mean that we're not obeying God. Okay, we're to obey God. Obeying God means that we're going to obey our governments. Okay, that's part of it. And
as long as it goes along.
We'll get to that. Right, we'll get to that point briefly here. But regardless, Jesus, God established the governments. I don't care if it's the socialist governments in the other parts of the world. Our government, the Canadian government, all government, God established them. We mentioned earlier last week, got to look it up again. I wanted to look it up and just have it for you. But there's a passage that talks about that God's people, I think that's who you're referring to, or peoples get the leaders that they deserve. That's my way of wording it. But if we have an evil leader, it's because God's people, we're not living righteously. Okay? And that can come upon us. Okay? So we have the leaders that we have because it's what we deserve. It's part of all God's plan. And we know that when the nation of Israel was serving the Lord faithfully, they had good leaders, didn't they? That led them in the paths of righteousness, led them to follow God, and God blessed. But when they weren't following God, what kind of leaders did they get? Pretty wicked ones, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Pretty wicked ones. But Jesus sent here, we're to pay tribute to whom tribute. That means we're to give honor to the authorities that God has established to us, that has established over us. Let's turn to, go ahead and turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. Chapters long, but it seems like I've never flip it. It's just like it's like two pages. Anyways, Romans 13. Here we go. Again, this is something that's not new to a lot of us, but still, it's always good to continue to review. Because sometimes we can lose our focus, and sometimes we cannot be very happy with our governments, and we don't honor them as we should. We still respect the office, we not always like the individual. So, Romans 13. Let's look at the first seven verses. Let's go with Brother Walt, would you read those verses, please?
This is his watch attention for me.
She doesn't want that attention.
What?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good. thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay. Now think about the time that they went fishing and got tax money out of the fishing mountain.
Yeah.
You know, we aren't paying our taxes.
Yeah. And pay taxes.
Even Jesus paid taxes.
Yeah. And that being that subject as it is.
And he knows where all the coins are.
And he knows where all the coins are too.
Yeah. And we have again. And a lot of us agree, we pay too high taxes. I don't get off into that. But taxes are necessary. Whether they're illegal or not. We won't pursue that. But regardless, taxes are necessary because that's how the government is supported to be able to exercise the ordained position that God has put them in. Think of it as a New Testament church. This church can't operate. It's got expenses. Okay? That's why tithes are so necessary. Because the church has expenses. And
I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and he said, I noticed that you don't do anything on Sundays. I know that you go to church in the morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I didn't say anything. I noticed all this.
Mm-hmm.
So not only our money, but we're supposed to give the Lord of our time. Well, that's another thing. I haven't found anything in the Bible about tithing. And I said, how are you going to pay your pastor's salary? Well, that's why we don't have a pastor. I said, how about the building? Well, that's why we rent. So,
well, even if they're renting.
But because it's so low, he says.
Right.
But it's like, how do I argue against this? That's why we don't have
one thing.
That's worldly thinking. That's why we don't have a pastor, because we don't want to pay the money. We're
is this
spiritual
the guy you lived by 35 years?
What's that?
The same guy you lived by 35 years.
Well, yeah, it's been a long time. But
at least but it's amazing. That happens because they're not reading their Bible.
Exactly.
That seems crazy in religion,
yeah.
But that's a mindset. I've seen that. I've been faced with that recently in our own work. There's some in the Lord's churches with that.
Well, they got burnt because they had a pastor that was only in it for the money.
Mindset, yes.
And so then we just don't.
Okay, fine. Use that as an excuse. That doesn't exercise or relieve you of our duty. In a sense, another part, you're muzzling the ox that treads out the
corn. I gave him that. That's why he said, that's why we don't have a pastor.
Oh, my goodness.
My mouth fell open.
There's a lot more. It's amazing. See, that's foolishness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute foolishness and ignorance. But, that's the nature of Protestantism.
The example that is in the Bible about the farm animals,
mm-hmm.
if you want to go that far, is don't muzzle the ox that tramples out,
Shouldn't he eat of that which he's trampling on?
Sure. If you
let
by the
that he's not trampling, that he's piling up for him. Yeah. Exactly. And that's
it,
only the natural order of things. You don't feed the ox, guess what? He's not going to be treading up that corn for you anymore.
Sure.
He's going to fall down dead.
Yeah.
So, getting to that point, exactly. But here we have a great passage about the necessity of God's people respecting the powers of being. In the very first verse, let every soul be subject unto higher powers in general. Okay? God first, and then God has an order. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes and says, unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. So if we're going against the powers that God has put over us, well, guess what? We're going against the very ordained things of God. It wasn't the Gamaliel that warned the people, warned those that were persecuting, remember the individuals in the church, he said, be careful. You might find yourself bucking up against something God has established and ordained. He tried to warn him. You better tread softly what you're doing here. You might fight again. When we're fighting against our government, we're not living necessarily. Well, I'm going to be careful I say that. Because there's. If we'd have lost our, if we'd have lost the war of our independence against England, a lot of people would have been hung for treason. Okay. But there was an evil and oppressive government. That's not the purpose of this. But the point is, God established governments, and sometimes those governments can get evil. Okay. But again, the oppressiveness of that government was preventing people to worship God as God intended. And it became necessary to go against that. This is Dan's point later. But the point is, these things that are established by God, and we find ourselves not following the leadership or those authorities that are over us, then we're really actually disobeying God. That's why he says later, make sure you do so for not only for, verse 5 says, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, for judgment's sake, but also for conscience sake. Conscious towards God and his authority ultimately over all of that. And his establishing it. So we need to be careful about that. You know, children of God, though citizens of the kingdom of God, okay, though we citizens of the kingdom of God, are sojourners here and therefore possess dual citizenship. Okay? I mentioned earlier, when I was praying about, we're ambassadors. Even though I may be an ambassador that we send out to the countries, guess what? They're under the laws and subject to the laws of that other government.
If you have immunity.
Don't go there. But technically, the point is, when you start using diplomatic immunity, that means you're breaking laws.
Yes.
In most cases, that's what's taking place. When you try to claim that. You can't prosecute me. You know what? Those things ought to be, you know, righteously wise. If you're an ambassador of a country, you need to obey their laws. Or they're going to kick you out. You know, so the point is, we are ambassadors for Christ. Yeah, we do have dual citizenship. We're citizens of the nation of the United States of America. But we also are in a greater manner, we are citizens of a greater country, of a greater head, Christ and his kingdom. Okay, but that puts us in a position where we need to obey these powers that he's talking about. But he goes on. To say, until such a time as the, I've got little comments here, and we're to do so until such a time as the Lord takes us to our heavenly home, i.e., the millennial reign or eternity, because that's when Christ is going to rule, and he's going to establish things the way he intended to, the way he wants it to be done. Okay. But until that time comes, we are under the headship or under the leadership of those powers that he's put over us. And we can't change that. We are to be subject to those in whom the Lord has set by divine ordination, has placed authority over us. For the most part, those in authority over us have enacted and enforced laws which provide safety and well-being for us. Okay? That's what they're there for, to put order. If man does not have government or some kind of established laws over them, there'll be chaos. You know, every man will run around doing that which is right in his own eyes, like it was in the time of the judges. You know, they weren't following the ways that the Lord had established, and so forth. So we have to, you know, as a people, because of nature, we have to live on. We need laws to keep us in order. Okay, as God's children, we need laws to keep us in order the way that God wants us. It's all right here. So we need that. If not, we'll be left to our own selves and our own devices and. We know what that creates in that. So, as he makes that statement, let's go back to that. Then verse 3 says, whosoever therefore resisteth, the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That word damnation just simply means judgment. You break the law of the land, you're going to suffer the consequences, the judgment of that law. Whatever that law may be, we're going to suffer the condemnation, or the, not condemnation, but the judgment of it. But he goes on to state that the rulers are not a terror to good works. If we would do right, we have no reason to fear, do we? If we're obeying the laws, we've got no reason to fear when we see a policeman driving down the road across from us. Or do you get this little fear in you when you see that? All of a sudden, do you look down at your speed limit?
Pull up on the gas pedal?
Do you pull out? Do you do that? Or do you flip
yes.
off? Or do you flip off the cruise control? Maybe you're cruising too fast. But you see what I'm saying? How are we, if we are obeying the law, we have no reason to fear those that are set there to protect us, to enforce the laws, because the laws are generally there to protect us and to keep us safe. Keep things in order. It's just shit.
Well, it's funny that you bring it up that way, because little Ryan, for years, whenever he would see a policeman, he wouldn't think, oh, there's the good guys. He would say, watch out, they're going to get you. You know what I'm saying?
He's saying that. This is, he sits in the back seat, right? Most little kids do it. He's big enough and tall enough now, and has been for the last 2-3 years. And he can see, because my, most cars have speedometers right there in front of their steering wheel, not mine. Mine's in the middle of the console where anybody in the back seat can see it. So guess what? He sees that. And he knows what...
Where the number should
Grandpa,
be.
Grandpa.
You're not on the right number.
They're going to get you. Right. But see, but that's just it. The whole point is they're not a terror to those to terror the good works. Okay? They're a terror, but it was a successor. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, as he says, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know? Pretty simple. If we don't live in fear, if we're obeying the laws, then we will be considered law-abiding citizens and not a hindrance to that. But he goes on, for he is the minister of God to be for good. We already talked about that. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. That's what he's saying here. We ought to be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain. Remember, his power and authority is ordained of God ultimately. Okay? For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath or judgment upon him that doeth evil or disobeys the law. Okay? Very, very simple. Therefore, he makes that statement. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay you tribute to minister and attendant who continually minister under these things, this very thing. There goes and repeats the same thing that the Lord told him, what the Lord told the disciples there in Matthew chapter 22. Run under Caesar's, things that are Caesar's, things that are to God. That means we're to pay tribute, respect, and honor to them. We may not always like what they do, but we need to respect, at the very least, the office that he holds, or that they hold. And if we don't like what they're doing, thank God we still live in a country where we can vote. You know, we can vote. That's the way that God's made it so we can get wicked leaders out of the office. Okay? And so forth. We don't like the laws and so forth that we know that are, anyway. Go ahead.
God is, I like this because God is made on pictures and types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you look through all this Romans 13 that we're looking at, it's a picture of how we are to be towards God.
Yeah.
He is a higher power. If we do good, we're worthy of the praise. And if we do evil, he's going to judge us. I mean, it's the same picture.
Yeah. That's why he starts out that all these powers are ordained of God. That's why he makes that statement.
But it's a physical picture of a spiritual.
Of a spiritual. Yeah, of a spiritual. Yeah. Exactly. And again, talk about verse 5 talks about the physical, but also spiritually, we're going to have conscious sake of it because we're remembering it. Placed all that there. Any other comment concerning that? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2.
One more thought. Uh-huh. A rebellious spirit or a rebellious person, if they rebellious in the physical laws of the land, they have trouble with the rulers.
Oh, sure.
And if they have a rebellious spirit with God, they have problems with God.
And precisely. Exactly. 1 Peter. Anyways, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Okay, let's go ahead and look at verses 13 through 16. Sister Kathy.
to every ordinance of a man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 17?
One more verse.
17?
Yeah. One more.
As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Okay, then he goes on to honor all men and so forth. But anyways, again, Paul just reiterating again here, or Peter is reiterating the same thing that Paul was stating in Romans chapter 13. Just reiterating that once again here, but as he makes his statement, we're to submit ourselves to everyone that's a man. Even if we don't like it, we're to submit ourselves to it. Now, Brother Dan's talking about there's a point where things, where ordinances or when laws can be passed that directly oppose or directly go against or contradict the laws of God. That's a whole different can of worms. God doesn't say that we're to submit ourselves to those laws that cause us to go directly against the laws of God. Okay? That there's a break there that will need to be, that is obvious, that needs to be stated there. But when we're doing so, we better make sure we're on the foundation of God's word, because if not, then we can be found doing evil when we're not, it can't be what we think. It's got to be based on what God's word teaches concerning that. But he goes on to say, they are sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Almost identical statement there again. So again, just kind of reestablishing that point again. The only exception to that, abiding by the laws of those that have government authority over us, is when they enact and seek to enforce laws which are in direct conflict with what God would have us to do, that go against God's expressed laws of His Word. I had some examples, such as Daniel chapter 3. Okay. There's a law being passed. Go back and read that in verses, I wrote it down in verses 13 through 18. There's a law being passed there that directly deals with the subject of, just go there, it's only a few verses, let's go to Daniel. I don't like to just, let's just do it. But the, Daniel chapter 3. And we often bring this up because this is a law that was being passed. And there was a purpose in it, there was evil in the intent, nevertheless, it was a law being passed that no one was to pray or bow down to any god but unto Nebuchadnezzar himself. Okay? And as a result, let's read this verses. Let's read verses 13 through 18. Sister Rachel, can you read those verses for me? Daniel 3, verses 18 through 13 through 18.
The Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought them in before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship my golden image, which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that what time ye hear the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that selfsame hour, into the midst of the fiery furnace, whose God shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Okay. Now that's a simple one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a simple one. They were not going to bow down and worship this image, this golden image, or to the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And they wouldn't do it. And again, they weren't disrespectful to the king. Okay. But they said, you know what? We can't do this. We're not going to do it. That means we're going to go in this furnace and get burned. That's exactly what it means. But we're going to obey God. But that's ultimately who we answer to. Okay, not you. We have to answer to our God. And so that's conscious for God's sake is very important. Which is, what Peter and even talking about for conscience sake, you know, and so forth. So that's an example there, one of, you know, where we are to defy or say, no, I'm not going to submit to that because it directly opposes what God has established that I should. I'm not to worship anything but the Lord thy God, and I'm not going to do that. So that means I get thrown in prison as it happened in Acts chapter 4, go there next. In Acts chapter 4, we have another situation very similar. So we're not to submit to the laws of the land if they are opposed and in contradiction to God's law. But if we have an opportunity to change that law, we're to do so. Okay, Acts chapter 4, turn there real quickly for me. Turn there, chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Brother Josh, can you read those verses, please? 18 through 20 of Acts chapter 4.
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God hearken unto you more, to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Okay. Again, they were being commanded not to speak in this name, referring to Jesus Christ, the gospel. Okay. Laws are passed that we can no longer do that. What are we going to do? And we're heading towards that direction. We're heading towards it. There's been times in history where that's been, you know, see here, but other times in history this has been done, been tried to enact. But here is, you know, judging you what you think is right, but we're going to obey God. You know, it's better to obey God than to sacrifice, as he says in another place. Well, there in the Old Testament, he makes that statement there. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, they're not going to deny or not speak the things that they want to bear witness of. Mm-hmm. This wasn't the first time they had to deal with this. Did I see him?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You mentioned the American Revolution.
Right.
What was the simple principle that started that at the Boston Tea Party? The cry from the American people was, no taxation without representation. No paying taxes. The American people got up and started that Boston Tea Party and the American Revolution. The war started. The American people refused to pay taxes to an oppressive government who refused to allow them to worship the Lord.
Sure.
That was
that
the
started
simple state of what started the
long
war.
Long before that, it just culminated after the revolution to our independence. Because of not able to worship God as God freely dictates in his word we should do, that was being oppressed. If you look at church history, you can see the oppression of all that.
Yep.
Led to that other thing, because the oppression was being put on them by the government that was 4,000 miles away.
Yep.
Brother,
you know, we're becoming a minority.
Yeah.
You know, at work, 10 years ago, we could decorate our cubicle for Christmas. We could put up
Christmas cards,
Christian symbols and all this.
Sure.
Now, because diversity is the big thing at work, we can't do anything that Christmas. We can do Santa Claus, but we cannot do the Jesus and Christmas stuff.
Now, see how that's getting reversed?
Yeah, the nativity scenes are not allowed at work. Can't decorate our cubes with stars and, you know, things that might point back to God, because other people get their feathers ruffled and blown down. You're putting God in the office. You can't do that.
It's reverse discrimination. It's happening badly. Sister Shelley.
No.
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. And be aware of that. It's going to get worse.
No. It already is with these.
Sure.
This reverse thing now. They won't like Christians say anything about God, but you go to their neighbor, the Muslim group, or whatever it is, they can do all they want to do
in
the name of education. It's
even in the workplace, there's even five times a day that they can go meet.
Oh, yeah, and worship their God.
Well, they can, but they're cowtown to it. Okay? That's just what I'm pointing. That's the whole point. And we as God people ought not submit to those kinds of laws, to those kinds of things that come down the pipe like that, because it's really, you can get right into, even under our constitution, we're protected from that.
Yep.
But people are afraid to challenge it. And they're letting the few really make the decisions for everybody else. And that few has gotten really a lot larger over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Chapter 5, real quick here, look at verses 17 and 18. There are particular passages. I can't get passages over so quickly. 17 and 18 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them into common prison."
You probably want 29.
Yeah, I had that written down. Oh, I think I brought that up. They were arrested. I just brought that up for the arresting person. But at the end of this chapter, 27 through 29 here, as a result of that, it says here, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Granted, this is the religious leaders. This isn't the Roman government. This is the religious hierarchy within Israel doing this. Okay? "That you be filled with Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They didn't like the idea that it was condemning them for what they had done. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." Okay? That's what it comes down to. And really, they use God's word to tell the priests, they were missing. They were in their stomachs rejected Christ. And we're adding to that error continually as we continue on. We are out of time. I didn't quite finish this part here, but we'll finish up. I wasn't quite done yet. But we'll continue with this. It's important that we understand these things and that because we're living in a time where we're going to see a lot more of this. And are you stable enough and are you grounded enough in the Word and in faith in God to be able to stand up when these things come? Or are we going to crawl back in the hole and let them steamroll right over us? It may mean imprisonment. It may mean they try to take our property, the church property. It may mean, we're seeing all the time where things that were once exempted from taxes and so forth, we're starting to pay some taxes now on things that we didn't have to before quite a few years back. Because those exemptions are being put